Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Give God a hand praise, amen. For he is good, and as the word of God says, his mercy endureth forever, or endures forever, forever. Because I don't use the THs in the words like that. I never talk to people like that, you know. But hey, it's in the word of God, amen. And if Jesus was here today, he would say, my mercy lasts forever. OK, just so we understand, because see, that's the thing about Jesus. He didn't speak in parables so that people wouldn't understand. He said he spoke to them so they could understand. Amen. And that's really what we are here to do, is to understand the word of God and know how to apply it to our lives. Amen. So today I'm going to pray and we're going to get going. I don't think I'll be before you very long, but hey, we'll see what the Spirit say. All right. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for another time, dear God, of being here in your presence, being amongst your people. Dear God, I pray to God that today, our dear God, your word is spoken, and dear God, that it speaks to our lives in such a way, dear God, that we have no choice but to react positively to your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. So early this week, this was, you know, God doesn't always give me my sermons early in the week. But when he does, I'm like, thank you, Lord. I was just reading the word of God. And can somebody bring me a Bible when you get a chance? If there's another one, I don't want to take yours. Yeah, hallelujah. I just don't want you to be without. That's what I'm saying. But I was praying and. How many of you guys read the Bible daily? Anybody read the Bible daily? Okay. One thing I really try to do, or that I do, is I have a devotional that I read. I have like 4 or 5 devotionals that I read every day. And that helps me make sure I'm staying in the word of God. One of them is like, some of them are a few scriptures. Other ones are like passages of the Bible. I have one that has 7 different passages. And that one, with all the other ones, I can't always get to. But the more that you stay in the word of God, the more it becomes the language that you begin to speak. Amen. The more you feed anybody, if you are continuing to feed yourself with, and let me just say this, because I just had some junk food today. But if you continue to eat junk food, guess what happens? That becomes what you are. You go in the mirror and, Lord forbid, I go in the mirror and I'm like, oh, man, I didn't have that before. Right. I was actually talking to a brother today. He actually came to the conference and we were just connecting, and a young man of God. He has a lot of things that he's desiring. And he was like, I just want to be connected with other people in God. And I was like, praise the Lord. That's good. But we were talking about Daniel. Everybody remember Daniel? He went on that fast of 21 days. And what did he eat? Fruits and vegetables, right? You know, some things that sometimes, everybody likes fruit, I think. But vegetables is the hard part. Now, I started actually adding vegetables in as many meals as I can, just so I can do that. But one thing we were talking about, he was like, man, you still look pretty young. I told him how old I was. He's like, you still look pretty young. And I was like, yeah, man, when you live for the Lord, he takes care of you. Amen. And I was like, I don't know if it was just the fact that Daniel and them guys ate the fruits and the vegetables, but I also believe it was their choice to honor God with how they lived their life. Because you got to remember, these cats were in Babylon. Somebody say Babylon. And that's where they were very wicked. Anytime you see something about Babylon, they were wicked. So I know it wasn't just the food that they were partaking in. It was the lifestyle that they chose to live. And your lifestyle will help you, amen, be healthy. That's just a side note, okay? So whatever you're doing, honor God in all that you do, amen? The Bible says if you're going to eat certain things, give glory to God. If you're not, if you're going to sustain from those things, give glory to God, amen? today I'm going to talk about give what you have to God. Tell your neighbor to give what you have to God. Now, we're going to go to Luke 9, verses 10 through 17. And in this passage, we're going to talk about the five loaves and the two fish. All right. Now, before I get into that, we have to understand this whole situation, because a lot of times we are in the same situation where Jesus is asking for something or God is asking for something. And what we have, we think it is not enough. Right. Has anybody ever been there? I'm not good enough, God. I don't know enough, God. I would love to, but I'm not strong enough, God. Like if that, what happens is we get so self-conscious that we miss the fact that God wants to do something with the very thing that you're willing to give to him. But you must give it to him. Amen. Amen. Let's go there. It's actually in verse 10. It says, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Luke 9:10. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. All right, I'll read it from there, Mike. And it says, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed him and received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And he healed those who had need of healing. Okay. So God meets needs. That's one thing we just got to remember. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions. And we are in, for we are in a deserted place here. I'm sorry. It says, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than five loaves and two fish. Now, this passage jumps quick to it. It doesn't talk about the people that gave it, but they said that's what they had. OK, so we had no more than five loaves of bread and two fish. OK, now loaves of bread. Anybody, when we buy loaves of bread, at least there's like 30. Well, it depends on what kind of bread you get. Right. If you get the small bread or the 99 cent bread, there's going to be like 15 pieces. Right. But the bigger the bread, the thicker the bread, you get a little more. Right. But he had five loaves and two fish. And he says, unless we go and buy food for all these people. He's saying, we don't have enough. We don't have enough to feed all these people. This is all we have. And it says, for there were about 5,000. Somebody say 1,000. 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. All right. So if there's 5,000 men, let's help me out with some math. And there's groups of 50. How many groups is that? 100. There's 100 groups of 50 people ready to eat. Now, we all just had Thanksgiving. How many had 50 people with them this time? That's a lot of people, right? You're like, oh, man, 50 people coming to the house. Some people begin to panic, right? Because I don't know if I have enough food, right? Or I don't have enough this. But in the spiritual realm, there is people, sometimes thousands of people, that God is asking you to reach. But you're saying, I don't know if I have what it takes. I'm not sure that I'm good enough, God. Right? And God doesn't always show you reaching thousands of people right away. Thank God. Because some of us are scared of people. Right? Let's be honest. One of the most feared things in America, or if not the world, is speaking in front of people. Right? People are terrified of speaking in front of people. And I'm like, I've been doing this for a while, but I never have been scared of getting in front of people. I teach my kids, don't be scared of people, because they're just people like you, right? Now, if they're doing something harmful, then leave, right? Save yourself. But you cannot allow fear, here's the word right here, to keep you from giving God what he wants from you. Because when you allow fear to keep you from giving God what he wants, fear really becomes an idol in your life. Now, not only an idol that you reverence, but also it keeps you idle from going anywhere. Fear will hold you back. All right, tell your neighbor, don't let fear hold you back. Come on, say it like you mean it. Don't let fear hold you back. All right, so we got 50 groups. I'm sorry, we got 100 groups of 50. Men only. It don't even talk about the women and the kids. And like my brother Obed was talking about earlier, there was a lot of work with all them kids there. All right? So they might have had, who knows how many more people there was. Because let's just do the math. Let's say half of them were married. That's another 2,500 people. Let's say half of those people, or at least all of those people, at least had one kid. That's another 5,000. You're looking at 10,000 easily. And guess what? They didn't have birth control back then. So there might have been kids, people. I mean, when you look at Jesus' mother, Mary, it says she had like 5-6 kids. So, hey, I'm pretty sure that was a crowded camp. All right. So the disciples are shook because all I have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. All I have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And God, you want me to feed those people? No, he didn't want them to feed the people. That's what we got to catch. Jesus doesn't want you to be Superman or Superwoman. Okay? Jesus is the one. You give what you have to Jesus, and he does the work. All right, I've heard people say you have to do the natural for God to do the supernatural. There has to be a natural move for God to do a supernatural move. Right? If you're not saying, okay, God, I need you to move in this situation. If you're not willing to go pray for somebody, they won't get healed because there's no natural that God can put his super on. Amen. Your natural ability is just being obedient. Your natural ability is just saying, okay, the word of God said, if I lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. Guess what? There's going to be a time in your life where that scripture comes up or the Holy Spirit urges you to go pray for somebody, and two things can happen. Fear or faith. All right? You guys ever watch the cartoons and there's always a good guy on this side and a bad guy on that side, right? You watch Bugs Bunny enough, you might see one of the episodes where the bad bunny was on this side and the good bunny was on that side, right? Guess what? Fear and faith are on both of your shoulders. And you're going to listen to one or the other when Jesus says, give what you have. My brother Chamian said, many times when he is scared to do something, he just does it because he knows that that's what God wants him to do. And I'm not just talking about anything in life, but when there's something that he feels the Spirit of God is telling him to do and he gets scared, he goes and does it. He does it. He will do it because he knows the enemy does not want him to do it. So he will put the seed of fear in you. See, the enemy does not work without the seed of fear and doubt. Right? Let's say the first sin, Eve, the enemy was as a serpent, right? We know he was as a serpent. And what he began to do was put fear and doubt in Eve. Oh, God didn't really say that. Right? He didn't really say that if you eat this tree, you will die. Right? Because, you know, he's going to make you be like him. So what began to happen is she became fearful because I believe she heard the word of God, but she didn't access the faith that was attached with that word. See, faith in the word of God will allow you to walk in the word of God. Amen. The Bible says the hearing of the word, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word. But I also believe that faith comes by doing and doing the hearing that you hear. Right? Because the Bible says faith without works is dead, right? So if faith without works is dead, faith that comes from hearing and hearing the word cannot just stop at hearing the word. It has to be done, right? It has to be applied, okay? You don't get a job without applying for the job. You don't get a job without applying and also going to the interview. And also, when you get the job, you can't just say, yes, I got the job, and don't show up. Right? That does you no good, because in a couple of days of not showing up, hey, bro, what's going on? How come you haven't? Well, I already got the job. You can't tell the person that. I got the job. Well, guess what? You don't have the job now. You're going to have to find another job. But faith must be applied, okay? Somebody say, apply your faith. Let's go back to this. For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Okay. Then he took, who took this? Jesus. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. I'm sorry. He blessed and broke them. Man, that's a message right there. I've never caught this before, but I'm going to say it like this. God will bless what you give, but there's going to be many times it's going to be broken. Okay? Now, nobody wants to be broken, right? It said he blessed and broke the bread. Now, thank God it was just bread that he was breaking, right? But when you give something to God, what has to be broken? Your will, your way. Okay, I preached about Moses a couple of weeks ago. Was that at the conference? I think so. At the conference, I spoke about Moses and how he had his own plans, right? Moses had good plans, but it wasn't God's plans. Why do you say that, Marquise? Because he had a plan to save the Israelites in his own strength. But it wasn't until he was broken in the wilderness, in a fire, or next to a fire that was burning a bush that wasn't really burning. It was just on fire. Okay? And God said, give me what you have. Moses, give me what you have. And guess what Moses did? Just like a lot of us do. And this is not I always preach words. They're never to condemn people, okay? But Moses said, I'm not good enough. I'm not educated enough. But if we actually looked at the story, he was educated. He was trained to be the Pharaoh, right? He was trained to be a leader. But because he was broken, he said, I can't do this. See, God doesn't take people that think they got it all together to lead his people. Because he says it's not by works, right? It's not by your strength. You have to be broken for God to use what you have. So the thing that you have, come to him humbly and give it to him so he can break it and you will be blessed. Amen? But not only will you be blessed, it will bless others. Because in this passage, it says he took what they had. Somebody say they had. And what did they have? They had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up to heaven. Okay? That's one thing. We're looking up to heaven saying, God, use what I have. And then he blessed it. And broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitudes. Amen? Let's keep on going. So they all ate. Somebody say all ate. And were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. That's Luke 9:10-17. We're going to go to Mark 6:30-44. It's the same passage, but I just want to read it because this one has a few more verses, okay? Okay? But I want you to know that God wants what you have. God wants to use what you have. But if you have a closed fist or you think I don't need to give it to God, you have the wrong mindset. Okay? Because God can take what you have and you might, like my wife says, oh, little old me. She used to always say that when she preached. I don't know if he really wants little old me. Yes, God wants little old you. And Precious ain't old, but I don't know why she says that. But God wants you. Even a little. Look, check this out. In the Bible, there was a tithe and offering service. Somebody say tithe and offering service. There was one in the Bible. And Jesus was standing. He might have been holding the bucket, right? Or he was standing next to the bucket. And people came and said, hey, I got money. Let me go put some money in this thing. As a matter of fact, let me show you I got a lot of money, right? So they come in and put it in, and you know, the next guy comes, they might have asked this. I need a $5,000 line. Okay, I need a $100,000 line, right? I need a $500 line. Okay, but anyway, what I'm trying to say is people were in those lines showing people what kind of money they had. And then they probably said, anybody else that has something to give, come on and give. And the lady had two what? Mites, which equal one penny, right? She had two mites that equals one penny. And now she could have been like, man, that's all I got. There's no way I can give that. God doesn't want my little two mites. Right? I mean, come on, man. Let's be real about this story right here. God doesn't want my two pennies because my two pennies or my one penny, really, that's split in half, it doesn't equal that much. But Jesus looked at what she gave and said, she gave more because she gave not out of her abundance, but she gave out of all she had. That's what happens when you give God the little that you have. That's what happens. Come on, Mike. Let's go ahead and read it again.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Let's keep on going. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, somebody say far spent. That means Jesus was working all day with these people. His disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place. And already the hour is late. Even in this one, they start rhyming just a little bit. It's a deserted place. The hour is late. Come on. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now, let me stop right here, because sometimes we try to give Jesus the instructions that need to be happening. Do you catch that? The disciples are telling Jesus what to do because they're like, Jesus, listen, man, you know what? Jesus, you're a great person. Amen. I believe in everything that you do, but you need to send. I got an idea, God. You need to send that person back home because I can't deal with them. Right? Or really what they're saying is, it's getting late. I'm tired of working because, Jesus, we with you. We've been here all day. Now it's time for our break. So can you send them home? Tell them to go home, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a good work done today, right? But Jesus is not done. See, that's what happens when we try to give Jesus the instructions. Now, guess what? If they sent them home, guess what? There's no story of the power that God can do, because that was their idea. Just like I said about Moses, he had an idea, but he had to be broken and understand that God has a way that's way bigger than ours. God's plans and his thoughts are bigger than ours. Amen. Let's keep on going. For they have nothing to eat. And then it says, but he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Now, I don't know how much a denarii is worth, but 200 denarii. Guess what? I don't think they had it. Because they said it, once again, they trying to be like, oh, so what should we do, Jesus? Should I just go get $1 million and feed all these people? I mean, you can making them fish and chips. Like, what's up? This is a lot of money, right? So they're looking at something they don't have, catch this, because they feel like something that they have is not enough. Right? Check this out. Many of times we want or we ask for something or an anointing that somebody else has because we already see their anointing operating. Okay? You ask for their anointing, but guess what? Their anointing is only operating over there because they heard from God over there. But guess what? Every person that you see that had has a platform now, they had to start from somewhere where they didn't even believe in their gift. Right? Those are those stories that we look up to. Like, oh, wow. You catch them on, what are those shows? Behind the Glory or something like that. And you see their story. Man, they came from nothing. Right? You watch an athlete. His mom couldn't even afford basketball shoes for him. So for his first 10 years, he played basketball in sandals. And he became one of the greatest players ever. Right? These are the stories that we see because... Or we hear about, but we don't see that he could have quit because he didn't have the right equipment. Or he thought he didn't have enough. But God likes to use those stories so that he can get the glory. Amen? So he says, hey, we don't have it. We don't have enough. Let's keep on going. But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And what they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. All right. So I don't know about you, but if you came back with 5 loaves, let's just be honest. If you came back with 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 by yourself, it's going to be like those Black Friday deals and everybody's running in for that one thing. We've all seen the videos, right? Those TVs are on sale. And for some reason, on Black Friday, before the sale, they're almost out of all of them. Right? There's only 6 in the store, and you can see them from the window. Right? Come on. We got to be careful about this stuff, right? There's only 6 left, and they're right there. And what they want you to do is run into this store and see who's the first one to get it, but all the time, a fight breaks out. Right? Come on, man, this is... But how come I can go online and buy it without any problem? Because they want to see the drama. Okay? Yeah, Cyber Monday, you save more money on Cyber Monday. And you can stay home. Anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is, they came and they felt like they didn't have enough. They felt bad. It seemed like I don't have anything. 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people, they might have cried. That's all we got. But let's see what Jesus says and does. And we already read it, but let's hear it in this one. It says, then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. See, that's the part we didn't see was on the green grass, right? So there's 50 groups. There was 50 groups of 100, or there was 100 groups of 50 people, right? And it was on the green grass. You see how we put that together because we're reading 2 different passages? That's why it's important to understand that the Word of God has, especially the Gospel, is in 4 different books. So if you don't understand something, go into the other book and see, okay, is that story right there? Sometimes it'll give you a note and you can look, oh, okay, that's in Mark. Okay, let me go check that out. Okay, it's important. That's how you study the Bible. And it says, so they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in 50s. Now, catch that. That's because there was 50 people in a group and there was 100 groups. Catch that. It's funny, huh? Bible will even tell you how to do math. Check it out. Let's go to the next one. It says, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And 2 fish he divided among them all. Okay, so I like this passage because it didn't say that he divided the fish earlier. Just said he broke it. He said it broke it and they gave thanks and there was enough, right? But not he broke the bread and he divided the fish, all right, to feed 5,000 with 2 fish. Now, that wasn't a tuna. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if you, we a lot of times we only think of a tuna in a little can, But a tuna is a really big fish. It's like almost a whale size, right? It's up there. It's at least it's pretty big. Look it up. What'd you say, Mike? It's big. It's shark size. It's about that size. It's pretty big. But, you know, we always get tuna in a little can, right? And that little can is super small, and, you know, they preserving it and everything like that. But it says, he divided among them the fish. Let's keep on going. Yep. So they ate and were filled. Somebody say filled. See, this is the thing. When you use what God has for you, what happens is the people that are around you will be impacted, right? And they will be filled with sometimes with joy, sometimes with the Holy Spirit, right? Sometimes with, wow, God is really doing something. It gives them an understanding of who God has called them to be because you used the little thing that you thought wasn't good enough, the thing that you struggled to give to God, and he said, I'm going to take that and I'm going to do mighty and powerful things. Is anybody around you eating? Is anybody around you being filled or are you holding that back? Let's keep on going. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. All right, this is after everybody ate. There is more. You see what God does? Your gift or what God has put inside of you is not just for one moment. Right? There was still some left here. Okay? And I believe Jesus did that on purpose. Maybe that was for the disciples to save and eat later. Right? Because there was 12 baskets left, right? And they're like, man, Jesus was really. Maybe they didn't eat yet. I don't know. Doesn't say the disciples ate. Said they all ate, so probably they did eat. But there was 12 baskets left. And these are questions that you can have. There's not really an answer to these questions. It doesn't change the Bible when you ask, well, I wonder what happened with these 12 baskets. But see, when you read stories, sometimes you're like, wow, why was there 12 left? Why? Maybe because that's the number of completion, right? God likes that number 12. He likes 7 too. He likes a lot of numbers, but hey, those numbers both mean completion. But it says there was 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Okay, keep on going. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. And immediately he made the disciples get in the boat and go, okay, that's it. So there was at least 5,000 men, okay? So all that I'm saying today is don't allow you to be discouraged because you don't believe in what God's given you. If God has given you something, he believes in it. There's a story in the Bible where he gave people talents. And it's kind of funny that that word actually means talents like we have today, right? Their money was called talents back then, but it says he gave talents. To one, he gave 10. To another, he gave 5, another he gave 1. And the person that didn't believe in that talent that he had, even though he could see it, catch that. He could see it. Oh, man, God, he gave me this talent. Whoa, that's nice and shiny. I'm going to hide this, though. Not only am I going to hide it, I'm going to put it in the dirt. Right now, it's not going to be nice and shiny. I don't know about you. If you put something nice in the dirt, it ain't going to be nice. It ain't going to be shiny. Okay? But because he didn't believe that what he had was good enough, he said, I'm going to hide it. And what begins to happen is if we hide the gift, he's going to say, why didn't you use that? Now, look, guess what? You might make it into heaven. But he's going to be like, you remember I told you guys that story at the conference. Your works are going to be tested. He's going to see, are you going to do this thing because you love me or you're not? Because you fear. Don't let fear hold you back. Amen. I'm going to read something I just read in one of my devotionals today. But before I say that, God doesn't just want your gifts. He wants all you have. Sometimes we only limit it to the gifts. He wants everything you have. It says, and this is a devotional. If you guys have the Bible on your phone, the YouVersion Bible, it's called the devotional is called What's in Your Hand by Hope International. And it says, in our moments of desperation, it is easy to overlook the resources at our disposal. We focus instead on the magnitude of the problem or the way we prefer to solve it, which typically requires the least amount of effort from us. It says, like the widow, we often lack a holy imagination that enables us to look beyond the apparent meagerness or beyond the problem of what we have. A jar is just a jar until it is met with God's power. Okay? It said a jar is just a jar until it's met with God's power. Now, if you read the story, she had a jar. And catch this. Her husband was among the prophets. Right? So she went to Elijah. It was Elijah, right? Okay, it was E. I'm going to call him E right now. She went to E. And was like, man of God, you know my husband was a man of God. That's what she started her sentence with. And they're going to come take my kids because we can't pay the debt that we owe. So E asked her, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your possession? What do you have? Come on, somebody ask somebody, what do you have? So she told her, I just have a jar. It's empty, though. I don't have nothing in the jar, right? But I have a jar. So he said, go find all the other jars and buckets or containers, anything else you can find, and take them to your house. And when you get there, begin to pour that jar, right? And that jar kept pouring out oil. And I believe that the oil is not just, you know, every time you see oil, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But that also means it was supernatural. Amen. She didn't have enough, but God took what she had and made it enough so she could take care and keep her kids. Okay? It says a jar is just a jar until it is met with God's power. Likewise, our gifts and resources may seem insignificant until we remember God's astounding might. What you think you have may seem insignificant, but God is a mighty God. And it's stories like that in the Bible, and these are true stories, like that in the Bible that can encourage us to give God the little that we have and not think it's not good enough. Because what you're really saying or thinking is that God can't do something with it. And God can do all things but fail. Amen? God is willing to use you. Jesse playing the bongos, right? God will use that. You're glorifying God by using your gift for him. Amen? Something little is like that. People will be like, oh, man, you might think, oh, I'm just coming here having fun, hitting the bongos. I found something I like to do, right? But God uses those things to bring him glory. And God wants what you have. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for your word. I pray, dear God, that we would trust that you know what is best. God, that we surrender our lives, our gifts, our talents to you so that you can use them and impact many. God, we don't want to be lazy. We don't want to be fearful. We want to trust you with what you put in our hands. God, and we know that, God, that you could do even abundantly above what we can think or imagine. And it might not always come back to just us, But God, we want to see more and more people impacted. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.